Amen. I'm not sure you need your Bible this morning. We are going to be looking at one of the most famous passages of Scripture. We project the words on Sunday morning so that we could sing along, but if we were to sing Amazing Grace, we probably wouldn't need the words. This morning we are taking a look at Psalm 23, which millions of people have memorized. It has been a comfort to people from many nations of the world. It is one of the great passages of Scripture. And so let's pray and ask God to minister to us through the words of Psalm 23. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask by the power of your Spirit that you would make this psalm come alive to us this morning. Lord, there may be people here who are looking at it for the very first time. And Lord, I pray that you would encounter them powerfully. Lord, there are others here who have memorized this and have spent long hours contemplating its truths. Lord, I pray that for them they would see the truths in this psalm anew this morning. And more than just encountering words in a text, Lord, that we would encounter you. Lord, touch us this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David begins with a simple declaration, "The Lord is my shepherd." And perhaps the most important word there is the smallest word, "my." The Lord is my shepherd. It is the declaration of a sheep pointing to their owner, their master, the one who is their protector. The Lord is the one who watches over me. The Lord is the one who is responsible for me. That leads us to a question right away. Who is it that is your shepherd? Who is it that has responsibility for your life, for your protection, for your security, for your comfort? Who is it that you're depending on? David says that he depends on the Lord. Who is it that you're depending on? Just stop and think about that. Who is it that is the one that you rely on? Is it yourself? Is it your spouse? Is it your parent? Who is it that you are relying on? David says the one he relies on is the Lord. And that's the first thing that we need to begin to understand, is that if we want to have a deep relationship with God, he has to be the one we trust. He has to be the one that we rely on. We say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, my wife just took the kids upstairs, so it's perfectly safe for me to tell you what she told me. Because none of you would ever mention this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Janet told me that when she was a little girl, that really confused her. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She understood that to mean that the Lord is the shepherd I should not want. I shouldn't want him. But that's not what it means, and she knows that now, okay? So don't go and explain it to her. But when she was a little girl, that's what she thought. It really confused her. What does it mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? It means that the Lord is going to meet your needs. The Lord is going to take care of you. He's going to meet your needs. You shall lack nothing you need. The rest of the psalm is an explanation of that, of the fact that the Lord is the one who meets our needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down. That was one of the things that I noticed right away when I looked at the psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. How many of you sometimes have a problem just laying down? There are so many things that you're concerned about. The thought of just relaxing in green pastures, it just doesn't happen in your life. Many of us have that problem. But the Lord, as a shepherd, knows that his sheep need rest. They need green pastures to lie down in, and the Lord makes his sheep lie down there. So that was the first thing I noticed. Then I remembered reading a book that's been around for years by Philip Keller. Maybe some of you have read it. Called A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And he notes that sheep have problems. And they won't lie down unless the shepherd deals with four things. And these are the four things. And I think that they apply to our lives as well. First of all, fear. If the sheep are afraid of something, they won't lie down. They won't lie down. They stay standing up and alert and bothered and distracted if they are afraid. So the first thing that the shepherd has to make sure of is that the sheep have a sense of security. And that's one of the things that the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to remove fear. He wants to remove fear from your life. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't want you to be concerned about running into the street when there's a lot of traffic. There's things that we should have some caution about. But many of us live with fear. Fear about what's going to happen. It keeps us up at night. We're worried. And we need to learn that the Lord is perfectly able to defeat the enemies that come our way. He can remove fear. We were talking this morning in our prayer time. Paul was sharing about one of the advantages of starting to get gray hair is that you can look back at life You can look back at life and you can realize how the Lord provided and protected you during times that seemed stressful. The Lord was there. Fear primarily comes because we don't trust that He is going to be there tomorrow. He is going to be there tomorrow. He will. And the Lord promises us that, and He has always proved faithful. So fear is one of the things that God deals with. Another thing that the sheep have a problem with is getting along with one another. Sheep are social creatures. And if there's friction in between the sheep, they don't like to rest. How many of you have a hard time resting because of relationship problems? Anybody here? Okay? Well, the Lord comes as a reconciler of people. The Lord comes as a reconciler of people. And one of the things that happens as you follow Him, and one of the things that happens as you learn His ways, is your relationships become better. Let me say that again. As you mature in Christ, your relationships will become healthier. As far as they depend on you, they will become healthier. Why? Because your mouth won't be saying those angry things, because the angry things won't be in your heart anymore. And so your part in the conflicts will reduce. And in the church, among us, one another, we begin to see that God is at work in other people's lives. And so we begin to trust Him that even though John and I are having a conflict, like we did last week, wasn't it? We know that... What? Four songs. Yeah, the number of songs. Yeah, we joked about that last week during the sermon. I now have confidence that God is working in John's life. John has confidence that God is working in mine, and these relationship things that we're struggling with are going to work themselves out as we follow Christ together. So the amount of concern that I have about our current problem goes down. Does that make sense? And so suddenly I can rest more. What about flies? Now, the sheep are bothered by flies. They're a nuisance. I see these flies as being the attacks of the enemy. The enemy comes against us to try to distract us, to try to discourage us, to try to irritate us. And Jesus has won the victory over the attacks of the enemy. And as a shepherd, He protects us from the flies. And we learn how the shepherd does that, and we begin to relax. I think it was Martin Luther who said one day he was in bed and Satan himself seemed to come into the room, and he just looked at him and said, "Oh, it's only you," and went over, rolled back to sleep again. Because it didn't bother him. I mean, not that he liked Satan bothering him, but it was just Satan. He had God as his shepherd. There was nothing Satan was going to do that would bother him. The fourth F is famine, and I would have just put food, but Keller uses the idea of famine. If you're worried about what you're going to eat, they're going to have a hard time sleeping. And if the sheep are worried about what they're going to eat, they'll just get distracted. And that's where many of us are too. And remember the words of Jesus when he said, "Why do you worry? Why do you worry about those things? The Lord knows that you need them." And he taught us to pray, "Lord, give us today our daily bread." And he does, and he will. And the Lord watches over us so that we lie down in green pastures. He restores our soul. He restores our souls. You know, we're in need of soul restoration. We're in need of having our souls returned to their original healthy condition. That's what the term means. It means to make right. It means to make whole. It means to return. And we need that. We need that. Some of us have been hurt. We've been hurt deeply. Our souls have been injured. And we need the shepherd to restore our souls. Some of us are in a place where frankly, we've been hurt and we've built up defenses around that hurt. And we're living with it. We're living with it. We might know that there's something wrong, but we're like a lot of guys. A lot of guys are like me. If I don't go to the doctor, then I'm not sick. So I could have something wrong with me, but I'll just deny it and I won't go to the doctor. I'll just live with it. And a lot of us are doing that with our souls. We've got hurts. We've got bitterness. We've got all sorts of things in our soul that need to be healed. They need to be restored. And the Lord wants to do that for you. The Lord wants to do that in your life. He wants to restore your soul. It's what it's all about, people. It's what it's all about. He is the restorer of our souls. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads and guides us. He teaches us his ways so that he will be glorified. He will be glorified. He will be magnified. He leads me in paths of righteousness, but I've always been intrigued by what the next statement is. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he leads me in paths of righteousness, but sometimes the path of righteousness goes right through the valley of the shadow of death. What is the valley of the shadow of death? Don't know for sure. It is a place of deep, deep darkness. Death is not a bad word for it, but many times it's just called a place of deep darkness. And sometimes the path of righteousness leads right into it. But notice that it doesn't stop there. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. even though I'm walking through that dark place, it's like a canyon with dark shadows and you can barely see. Even though I'm walking through that place where in the natural I would be afraid of predators, I would be afraid of robbers, I would be afraid of all sorts of terrible things happening, I will fear no evil. For my shepherd is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Two of the shepherd's tools. One, a club with which to beat off predators, and a staff with which to guide the sheep. They're a comfort. I know he's there with me. I know he's there guiding me. I know he's there protecting me. So even though I am in this really dark, really scary place right now, I know that the Lord is with me. So I will not fear. I'll put one foot in front of the other till I make it through this valley of deep darkness. I may have enemies. I may have enemies. And in a war, a soldier doesn't eat big banquets. In a war, a soldier eats what he can, when he can. When there's a moment, he eats something so he can keep going. But the image in this psalm is, no, in the presence of my enemies, my shepherd sets a big banquet table with a tablecloth and candles, and he prepares a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Why? Because I have nothing to fear. And so even though the hills are surrounded by enemies, or surrounding me with enemies, here at this place, I am safe. And I feast on the abundance of his household. He anoints my head with oil. Shepherds would anoint their sheep with oil to bring healing and restoration. In the Bible, the anointing with oil is a symbol of the presence of the Holy Spirit. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Regret and despair aren't the things that follow me. No, goodness and mercy, goodness and steadfast love follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in his house forever. Oh, the images in this psalm are so powerful. You could take each image and make a whole sermon. David gave an incredible gift to us in this psalm. Amazingly, amazingly, Jesus picked up the images of this psalm in John chapter 10. John 10, he writes, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold, Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, For they know his voice. A stranger they won't follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying. So Jesus tried again. Verse 7, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." Then Jesus tried again. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father." Jesus lays down his life for his sheep. Sometimes I look at that transaction and they say, wow, what a bad deal. Jesus died for me. My life was worth his. And Jesus says, yes, yes. And you are worth the life of Jesus. He died for you. He died for your sins. He died so that you could have eternal life. He died to prepare a banquet for you in the presence of your enemies. He died to anoint your head with oil. He died to restore your soul. He died so that you could lie down in green pastures. He died for you, because he is your shepherd. He died for you. He is the good shepherd. Many of you know that. Many of you can say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. I want to encourage you to say, yes, and the Lord will be my shepherd tomorrow as well. The Lord will prepare a table for me tomorrow as well. The Lord will see that I have food next year as well. The Lord will meet my needs. I shall not want, because he is the good shepherd.